We begin the current daf, Masechet Baba Kama, daf Pei Daled. We begin 6 lines down by the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which opened up this parak, Parak Achevel, which the first halacha mentioned of the 5 liabilities that a person has when he damages another person, was Nezik, was to pay for the amount of the damage, which the Gemara had asked, why? Why do you have to pay? It says in the Torah, Ayin Tachas Ayin, an eye for an eye, and therefore, why should you have to compensate the guy for his eye? It's just that the assailant, the Mazik, gets his eye poked out. So where do you see that you have to pay monetarily? So the Gemara brought a source, a brisa, that ayin tachas ayin doesn't mean literally, it means monetarily. And that's why the Gemara continues many different approaches and rejects many of them regarding how to prove that it cannot be that it's literally an eye for an eye and therefore it's going to be monetarily. So the Gemara continues, Tani idach, we learn another brisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Yechi Omer, ayin tachas ayin, when it says in the Torah an eye for an eye, it means mammon, it means monetarily. That, are you really going to say it means monetarily? Maybe it means literally an eye for an eye. Haray, but I'll prove to you it cannot be that way, because let's say a blind person blinded someone else's eye, or kiteya vikita, or someone that was missing an arm cut off someone else's arm, or chiger vechiger, or someone that was lame made another person lame. How am I going to fulfill over here an eye for an eye? You can't poke out his eye. He's already blind. Now, if you're going to say that in this situation, that okay, you're right. Here you won't do an eye for an eye. And here instead you'll take money. But the Torah says there should be one judgment for you, which is Mishpadah Shablakuchem, has to be equal for everybody. You can't have some people paying money and some people having their eye blinded, and therefore cannot mean literally, because there are situations where you can't do it literally, and therefore it must be that everyone's equal and must be monetarily, not physically. Now, on this proof, Amri, they asked, Umay Kushu, why is that a difficulty? How is that a proof that it cannot mean literally? Dilma, Heicha de Efshir Efshir, maybe where it's possible, meaning to do an eye for an eye when the guy's not blind, then you do. Heicha de Efshir Efshir, when it's not possible, then you don't do. Upatrinale, you're right, and then we wouldn't do a halfway to some people pay and some people get their eye. He would actually be exempt if, let's say, the blind eye blinded someone else's eye. And that would be equal by everybody. Either he gets his eye blinded or he has no liability. As the Gemara proves this point, the Eloi Temahachi, because if you don't say this, like we're disproving Reb Shimon Yechi's proof, then Trefa Zharges HaShalim Mayavdinle. When a person that has a mortal defect, that he's waiting to die, that kills a regular, fully healthy person, what do you do to such a person? And that's because that person is a dead man, literally, meaning the guy who has a mortal defect. Hence, when even witnesses come to prove what this guy did and he killed someone else, the witnesses that would kill the treifa are not even valid witnesses. Because it's what's called Eidah Shiyata Yechalazima. We can't have other witnesses telling those first pair of witnesses, oh, how could you have said that you were with us that day, which would make them liable for what they're trying to prove regarding the murderer, what they tried proving to him. Because even if you would find Eidim Zayman, that meaning that they would be found to be lying, they would be exempt. Why would they be exempt? Because they were trying to kill a dead person. So actually, even then, the guy himself, the murderer, is going to be exempt. As the Gemara explains in Sanhedrin Daf Ayin Ches, you could only execute a guy if the witnesses who are proving that he killed someone else are able to be huzim themselves. Now, they cannot be huzim because they were trying to kill the murderer, and the murderer himself was already a dead person. So, says the Gemara, Elehecha de Efsha Efsha, obviously what that means to say is, when it's possible, then it's possible. Hecha de Leefsha, Leefsha, when it's not possible, but we exempt him. In other words, you're right. When a dead person, not a dead person, literally, but a guy with a moral defect, who's essentially a dying man, kills another person, you're right, you can't execute him. So you see that that's considered Mishpat Echad Yelechem, a guy who's not dead, who's not dying, so then when he kills someone else, he gets killed. When he can't, you can't. So same thing over here, there's no proof, maybe Ayin Tachas Ayin means literally, that you have to do an eye for an eye. Now, if a blind person blinds another person, you're right, then it's not possible. But again, that doesn't mean that the whole halacha is out the window. That just means to say that such a person you cannot execute, and maybe it means literally ayin tachas ayin, and there is no proof that it means monetarily. Different interpretation. The Beir Bishmol Tanam, stored in the Yeshiva Bishmol, the following brisa. Amakra, the Pasuk says, and this is in Pasuk, this is Vayikra Chav Dalet, Pasuk Chav, says in the Pasuk, Kasha yitin mumba adam, that just like when a person will put a blemish in his friend, he'll injure him, ken yinosim bai, so too gets given to him. Says the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, the ain't the sin elamamin. Giving is a term that connotes money. What's given over is money. So you see that kinyan nasim bayt means to say that same thing will be given to him, meaning that he has to compensate him monetarily, not physically. If that's the case, the words right before these words we quoted says kasha yitin mum ba'adam. Just like he placed this mum, this blemish, in a person, oh, kinyan nasim bayt, so too there is that nesina that's going to be to him. So you made it sound like nesina means, oh, giving. What do you give? You give money. That's something that's given over to another person. But you can't say the word nesina connotes money, because the words right before that is talking about what he gave to his friend. Now, what he gave him, he didn't give him money. He gave him a slap. He gave him a bang. He injured him. So you see that the word yiten doesn't literally mean money. So Amidei said, no, the Rebbe Shmuel kro yisera darshi. He wasn't expounding the word nesina itself. Nesina giving could also mean giving a slap. It doesn't mean just giving money. But he was expounding the extra words. Because mechti, let's see, ksiv, it says in the pasuk right before that, it says, ve'ish ki yid mum ba'misa, when the man will give a blemish in his friend, kasha asa ken yasa loy, like he did, so will be done to him. So the question is, so then why the next pasuk, which we just quoted before, ken yinasin by lamali, why do we need so too should be done to him? The pasuk before already said that same idea. Shema mina mamet, so the extra words, kasha, that which says, Kenyan Nasim Bai is coming to say what Nesina is coming to add on. If it's extra, it's coming to say giving of money, because it realizes, what would I need it for? I would already know it's physical. And that's how you know that it, from the extra words, that it's monetarily. Now the Gemara asks, like we just proved that we had this concept in the previous pasuk, so that's why we said the extra words Kenyan Nasim Bai is teaching monetarily, but Kasha Yitin Mum Ba'adam Lamli. What are the extra words meaning of the second pasuk? Like he did to his friend, what do you need that for? If you already said in the previous pasuk what he did, he gets back, this pasuk is repeating the same idea. So we know the second half of the pasuk, why it's necessary to say monetarily. But what's for the first half? So the Gemara says, I did the bayim michtav, ken yinasim bayim. You're right, just because we needed the second half of the pasuk to say the extra words, so too shall be given to him, which again, as we said, that nesina is extra to say it's money and not physical. So kasam nami kasha yitin mum ba'adam. So I had to say the first half of the pasuk to get it started. I had to say, like he gave the blemish to his friend, ken yinasin bai, which again means to say mamin and not physical. So again, that was a proof that this halacha of eye for an eye is not literally, but actually monetarily. The Beir B'chiya Tana, another source, the yeshiva of Reb Chiya taught the following b'raisa. Amakra, the pasuk says in Devarim, and this the pasuk is in Perek Yutes, pasuk Chavaf, that starts, "V'leisachis einecha," your eyes should not be merciful, but to the contrary, you should do yad biyad, a hand for a head. Now this pasuk is by Edom Zayman, which is, if somebody testified regarding a person that he cut off someone else's hand, then it turns out that they were lying, it turns out that actually they said false testimony, so the same thing that they tried doing to that guy gets done to the witnesses themselves. So explains the Braisa that they pay davar hanit miyad liyad, something that's given from hand to hand. Well, mind you, what is that? It's mamon. It doesn't mean literally a hand for hand. It means something that's given from hand to hand. What's passed from hand to hand? That's money. And that's what the liability is going to be for. Not the actual hand, but the monetary payment of the hand. So Anat Gemara asks, if that's the source where we see it's monetarily, not literally, elamiyata, but then if that's the case, there are other terms in there in that pasuk where it says, nefesh b'nefesh, ayin b'yayin, shein b'shein, yod b'yod. And as our Gemara quotes, regel b'regel, nami hachi hu. So what are you going to say with that? What's something that's given from foot to foot? What does that mean? You're interpreting yad b'yad to mean, oh, so that's telling you the halacha, that's mamon, because it's given from hand to hand. And what are the words regel b'regel? What, something that's given from foot to foot, it should be compensated when someone injures someone else's foot? So Amidei said, no. Here, like in the previous interpretation, the Beir B'chiya, they're not translating the words itself. They're expounding the extra words, the superfluosity of the words yad biyad, because mefti, let's see, Siv, the pasuk said previously in this parash of Edom Zayman, said vasisim loy, you should do to him, meaning to these false witnesses, kashazam las lachav, like they attempted, like they plotted to do to their brother, who they falsely testified what he allegedly had done to someone else. Now, Esau gedal techamamish, if he would entertain to say that it means literally what, you know, an eye for an eye, so yad biyad lamali. So then why do you need the terms a hand for a hand if you already said in this pasuk what he tried to do should be done to him? So you already know that it means exactly, literally, an eye for an eye. So why repeat and say yad biyad? Shema minna mamun, obviously he's coming to say that it's not something literally, because you wouldn't need that for. Must be saying something that's given from hand to hand that we only know from the extra words of it, because if it was literally, we already know that, coming to say that it's money. So the Gemara asks, regel b'regel amalei. Okay, so that explains yad b'yad. What does regel b'regel come to include? We already know that it's monetarily, so why say regel b'regel? So the Gemara says, ay dechsev yad b'yad. Just once it said about a hand for a hand, siksev nami regel b'regel, then therefore it also included a foot for a foot, but again, it doesn't mean literally a foot. It means the monetary compensation of the damage of the foot. And again, the context of Beit Mizraim is what they attempted to say, what this guy had done to someone else's foot. Another interpretation, the source for the halacha, that again, this nezik that the person does to a person, he doesn't get the same physical damage done to himself, but rather it's monetarily. Abaye Omer says, Asim in the Tanna Bechizkiah. We learned it from the Braisa of the Yeshiva of Chizkiah. The Tanna Bechizkiah, we learned in the Braisa of Bechizkiah, that it says a pasuk in Shemais, says, Ayin tachas ayin, nefesh tachas nefesh. An eye for an eye, a life for a life. Now, the interpretation is, V'lei nefesh v'ayin tachas ayin. It's only an eye for an eye, but not a life and an eye in place of an eye. Now, what does that mean? So, on that, they explain. V'yisalkatay tach mamish. Now, if you're entertained to say that the pasuk is literally an eye for an eye, Zimnin de mishkachas lo ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. Sometimes it will happen to be that you actually will be paying retribution, not just an eye for an eye, but a life and an eye in place of the eye that he damaged. Why? Because the Bahadi Da'avrele, it's very likely that when you're blinding the mazik, nafkali nishmasei, the eye is very much connected to the person's soul, which is that he could lose his life when you're blinding him. So therefore, it must be, it cannot be literally, because it was literally an eye for an eye. You might not just be an eye for an eye, it might be a life and an eye in place of the eye that he damaged for the victim. The Gemara asks, my question, why is this a question? How are you proving over here that it doesn't mean literally? Dilma, maybe we evaluate this person. In other words, if we see that he could sustain a blinding of the eye without losing his life, then we do it. And if we ascertain that he cannot withstand it, then we don't do it. So it's going to make sure that it's going to be only ayin tachas ayin and not ayin v'nefesh tachas ayin. Now, moreover, says the Gemara, and if we do evaluate that he could withstand the blinding without dying, and we do blind him, the mazik, and he dies, if he dies, let him die. In other words, that's not a problem, it's not a violation of ayin and nefesh tachas ayin, because mila tanan gabi malkus, didn't we learn a similar halacha regarding lashes, which is toward the Mishnah Masechtas Malkus, that says, amduhu, if they, let's say, evaluate a person that he could withstand the 39 lashes. We don't give it to him if we think he's going to die from it. But let's say we evaluate that he could. And he still ends up dying when getting lashes. Putter, the bez in the courts are exempt. The one who's giving it is exempt because we had evaluated that he could withstand it. So therefore, there's no proof from here that it means literally, that it does, that it cannot mean literally ayin tachasayin, because then it might be an ayin and nefesh tachasayin, because what do you mean? We'll evaluate. And if after the evaluation he just happens to die, that's also not a problem. And therefore, we could have it mean literally an ayin tachasayin. Rabbi Sid Mishmei de Rabba, he says, Amakra, the Pasuk says in Shemais, Petza tachas patza, a wound in place of a wound. Now, on that, the interpretation is, Litin tsar b'mokim nezik. That extra words of a wound in place of a wound is coming to teach you that you pay for the pain that the victim got in a situation when there is damages. In other words, even if you're going to pay him for the amount of the damage, how much he was injured, you have to pay additionally to that also the amount of the pain. And that is learnt out from the superfluosity of the term petza tachas patza, because it already said kviya tachas viya, that you have to pay the burn for the burn. So what are we adding on? By adding on the petza tachas patza, the wound in place of a wound. That extra term is coming to teach us that even if it's just tsar, you have to pay even if you already paid for the damages. Now, additionally, the halacha of the pasuk of kviya tachas kviya, chabur tachas chabura, which are also seemingly superfluous, are learned out on Amud Beis, what they're coming to teach. But that's what the halacha is taught from the words of petza tachas patza, that it's coming to teach us that even though you're paying for the nezik, you're also going to be paying for the tzar. Now, that says, Rav Zvid, in the name of Rabbah, if you're entertained to say that when someone injures someone else, it's literally that what he did to that person, he gets back himself. So, what do you mean? Just like the victim had pain when he was injured, so the damage of the assailant, when he gets what was done to that person back to him, he gave him a wound, he gets a wound back to him. So besides the wound, he's getting the pain too. So why are we saying that Petzet Tachas Patzet teaches us that you have to pay for the tzar, even though he already paid for the nezek? What do you mean? What's the paying for the nezek? That he gets the injury back to himself. When he gets the injury back to himself, he gets the pain too. Obviously, we're saying that you have to pay for it must be because it's all monetarily, it's not physically. Because if it was physically, then you wouldn't have to have a monetary payment for the pain because he's getting the pain. He's getting back what he did to the person by getting the actual physical injury back done to himself. Toshi Gemara says, no proof. In my kusha, why is that a question on if it would mean literally? Dilma ikke inish de mefanik. Maybe there are people that are more delicate. Maybe isle tzaret fei. Maybe the victim had more pain from that injury. And then there are people that are not so delicate, meaning the mazik, the assailant, less late tzar, maybe they didn't have so much pain. Now, lamai nafkamina, so what is the halachic relevancy that comes out then from this drasha, petzah tachas patzah, that you would have to pay for the tzar, even though the nezik is being done, let's say, literally to the nezik and to the mazik? It would be lamistri leheyech the beni beni. He would have to give the differential between the qualitative differences of the pain that the nezik had and the mazik had. Maybe the nezik had more pain from that injury than the mazik. It's that difference that the mazik would have to pay. But maybe it means literally, he injured him, he gets the injury back. He got pain. Yes, but it's not the same. Maybe he gets more pain. He has a lower tolerance of pain. And that difference he would have to compensate him for. But maybe the actual general ayin tachas ayin would mean literally an eye for an eye. So there's no proof from this. Rav Papa Mishmei de Rav Alma, he says, Amakrat, says in the Pasuk, also over there, it says, Virapi Yirapi, that when someone injures someone else, so he has to heal him, which teaches us the same idea, Litin Rafu B'makom Nezek, which is, not only do you have to pay for the injury, but you also have to pay for the medical bills, even though you're paying for the injury. Now, says the Gemara, the same idea, V'isogadadich Mamashiv, you're entertained to say that it means literally, no, which is that you injured him, you get injured back. So kihechad the high boya asi, just like he needs medical billing to heal himself. Hainami boya asi. So the mazik now who got injured back also has to use doctor bills to heal himself, and therefore he already got that retribution. He already got paid back. Why does he have to pay for his doctor bills? If you're saying he literally gets the same thing, which is now he has to pay for his own doctor bills. Toshi Gemara says, my kusha, why is that a difficulty? Maybe we could mean it means literally, and still it's not a problem because dilma ikad the solik bistre haya. Maybe there are people that their flesh heals quicker. And those who their flesh do not heal quickly. Now, l'may nafkamina, what would be the halachic differences? L'mesev leheyech the bein bein, to give him the difference, meaning maybe the mazik who gets the injury back healed quicker. The victim healed longer, took him a longer time. That differential is what he would have to compensate him. But for the basic, refuah, and nezik, maybe we mean literally that what he injured, he gets the injury back, and literally, an eye for an eye, therefore there's no proof. Ravashi Amar. He says, Asi tachas tachas mishar. We know that it means that it doesn't mean literally, but rather monetarily, from the gzer shava of the word tachas that it says over here, by ayin tachas ayin, all these words, and from shur, because ksivach here it says ayin tachas ayin, I in place of an I. Ksivasim it says over there, shalom yishalom shur tachas asher, by a shur shenogach, where an ox gores another ox, it says that you have to pay an ox in place of the ox. Now, malahal and mama, just like over there, it means you got to pay him money. Avkan Maman here also means you got to pay him money. Which the Gemara asks, Maichas is the Alpha Tachas Tachas Mesher. Would you see fit to learn out the Gzer Shava? From Shur, where it says Tachas, it means monetarily. Here, where it says Tachas, it means also monetarily. Lenelev Tachas Tachas Mi Adam. It says the word Tachas by man. Tachsiv, like it says, V'nasata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, when a person murders someone else, you do a life in place of a life. Now, malahal mamish, just like there, it's literally that the murderer gets killed. Afkan mamish, maybe here, ayin tachas ayin means literally that it's an eye for an eye. Why learn that from a show where it's monetarily? Learn that from a person. So, I mean, they said no, because done in the zikim and the zikin. We'd rather learn out damages from damages, which is damaging someone else's eye, damaging one ox to another ox. Vein done in the zikim and misa. We're not going to learn out damages from death, which is when the person murders another person, yeah, then it's literally he's going to get killed himself. But when it's an injury, then it's going to learn from Shur, which is monetarily. So Rosh Gemara asked back, no, Adrabah, to the contrary. Dun Adam Adam. You should learn the laws of when the victim is a person from when the person is a victim, albeit one is death and one is injury. Then Dun Adam Ahayman. You shouldn't learn the laws of man from the laws of an animal when the animal gets killed or injured. And therefore, the question is back. There's no proof because maybe it is going to be literally because we can learn that actually tachas tachas from Adam because this is also Adam. And just like when the person gets killed, you have to then the assailant gets killed himself. It's literal. Here also maybe ayin tachas ayin would mean literally an eye for an eye. So Elam Rav Ashi, rather Rav Ashi does say that mitachas asher inu yalafla. We actually learn out the halacha that it's monetarily, where here it says an ayin tachas ayin from a different tachas, which is when a man violates a woman, that it says that he has to pay her tachas in place asher inu that he afflicted her. That's where yalafla. That's where we learn it out from. Where that's adam mi adam menezikin menezikin. Where there it's actually the laws of the victim being a person. And moreover, the victim is just being injured, not being killed. So therefore, it has both components that we have over here. When a person injures a person, where again, the victim is a person and it's only an injury. Just like over there, the one who is ma'anis, the woman, has to pay monetarily. And it's not physical here also, it's going to be monetarily. And therefore, that's the proof that ayin tachas ayin is monetarily. Now, however, Tanya Lina Braisa, Rabbi Lazo Eimer says, ayin tachas ayin mamish. An eye for an eye means literally. Do you entertain to say that it means literally? Rabbi Leza does not hold them all the tanoim. We just brought a whole long list. Some we said it's lav davka. It's not necessarily indicative like that, but all these tanoim were saying that ayin tachas ayin is monetarily, not physically. And he's the one that's saying it means literally? So Rabbi explains, no. What he meant to say was, literally, but we don't evaluate him like a slave. All along we explained that the way you evaluate a person, the damages is, how do you evaluate the value of a hand? Which is, if he were, the physical value of his hand is, if let's say he could get value out of being sold as a slave, now that he doesn't have a hand, he'd be valued lower. That's how you evaluate him. That's what Rebbe Lezer is saying, is that no, we mean literally, ein tachas sein, that we don't want to evaluate him like a slave, but rather like a normal person. On that, Abai asked to Rabbah, says El Kaman. So what do you mean? So who should we evaluate him like? Ki ben chayrin, like a free person? Ben chayrin mi islay dame? What do you mean? Does a free person have value to the hand? There's no monetary value for a person's hand. Yes, obviously there's utility for it, but a monetary value on the market? That's a slave. A slave, his body has value. You can use him where other people could use his body. But a regular person, what's the value? So what are you interpreting? How are you interpreting what Rabbi Lezer means to say when he means ayin tachas ayin, means mamish? So Elam Rav Ashi, rather Rav Ashi says, Loimer, what Rabbi Lezer comes to say, is she'ein shaman oisei benizik. Then we're not going to evaluate the value of the eye of the victim, ela b'mazik, rather of the damager. Meaning the eye of the mazik is what's evaluated. How much would he be worth to be sold now? And how much would he be worth less to be sold without an eye? And that's what Rabbi Lezer means to say when he says mamish, meaning it really is an eye in place of an eye, meaning we evaluate the eye of the mazik, literally, it's his eye in place of the eye of the nizik. But it doesn't mean literally that you poke out his eye, that you blind his eye. It means, but it's literally his eye in place of his eye, not like the way we're explaining up until now, that it's the nizik, it's the victim's eye that is being paid for. That wouldn't mean literally, that would mean just monetarily. That's what he means, mamish. Again, mamish of the eye in place of an eye, meaning the mazik for the nizik. But again, it doesn't mean literally, it means monetarily. Again, how you would evaluate the mazik as an evidence, tell him. I think Gemara brings a story related to these halachas. Hahu chamer de kata yada de yinuka. There was a certain donkey that cut off the hand of a child. Asla kamed de rapab bashmol. So they came in front of rapab bashmol. Amalahu, he said to them, zilu shumale abar dvarm, go evaluate for him the four types of damages that are done when a person gets injured. So amalai rabba, so rabba said to him, but v'anan chamishatam. We learned in our Mishnah that there's five types of payments that are done. Why are you saying only four? So Amalei Labar Minezikamin, he says, besides the halachas of damages, that damages by anything. But when the victim is a person, there's another four things, which are tsar, ripa, shevis, and baishas. It's those extra four that I was saying, besides the damages, that you should evaluate this child for. Amalei Abaye, but Abaye said to him, but v'chamarhu. Here the assailant, the damage of the mazik was a donkey. V'chamar enim shalom elenezik, and a donkey, when the damage is even a person, does not pay for these extra four things. It only pays for the damages, meaning the owner of the donkey. As the Gemara said in the second paragraph of Chavav Med Aleph, it says, by Ishba Misai, when it's a man who does this to his friend, but not a Sherba Misai. So Amalhu, he says, you're right. He said to them, Zilu Shumalei Nizke. Go ahead and just evaluate for this child the amount of damages. You're right, you're not going to evaluate the doctor bills and the amount of loss of work and pain and humiliation. That doesn't apply, because the assailant here was a donkey. Now, on that they asked, but how can we just evaluate the amount of damage? We have to first evaluate, assess him as if he was a slave. So Amalui said to them, yeah, zilu shaymu ka'avdar, go ahead and evaluate him as if he was a slave. Go bring him to the market as if you're selling him as a slave. So then when the father of the child heard this, he said to them, I don't want this. The Zila Bey Mil says, degrading. My child should be treated like a slave to evaluate the amount of damages. I'm not interested. Amrulay, they said to him, but you're creating a liability for your child. You're causing a loss for him because now the father is forgiving the amount of damages that the owner of the donkey would have to pay, where actually those payments go to the child, doesn't go to the father. It's not yours that's telling the father. As the Brisa teaches on Daf Pei Zayin and Mabez, that for childs, when there's an injury for them, the father has to make a trust for them. So what are you doing over here just saying you don't want your child to go through this? You can't. It belongs to your child. You're causing him a loss. So Amluhi said to them, don't worry, Lechi Gadlu, when he gets older, Mefayasna Lei Mididi, I will appease him for my own money. Meaning, let's say he'll get a certain amount of money from being evaluated as a slave for the injuries. Let's say it's be $1,000. I don't want him to go through such a degrading experience. I will pay him that money when he gets older, and because I don't want him to go through this halacha of how we evaluate the Nezik, which is by evaluating him as a slave. Another story, Hahu Taira, there's a certain ox, the Olas Yodi Dinuka, the chopped, that chewed off the hand of a child. So Asla Kamei Rava. So he came in front of Rava. Amalahu, he said to them, Zilushai Muhu Ka'avda. Go ahead and evaluate this child like a slave. Again, that's how we evaluate the halachas of Nezik. Now Amalei, they said to him, but Vamahu da Amar, you the master, you Rava, you yourself were the one that said, Kalan Nishim Ke'eved. Any situation where a person has to be evaluated as a slave, in other words, since it's something that's not a set amount, which therefore you have to evaluate it, in Gaivin Aisib Bavel, that here we are in Bavel, that you're not allowed to collect those types of debt, those type of debts in Bavel, which the Gemara on Amud Beis will explain the reason for this, but here you have something which is not a set amount, you actually have to evaluate how much is the value, and you're saying we should evaluate it, but you said you can't have such collections, you can't collect anyways that amount in Bavel. So Amalhui said to them, you're right, Loit Tzricha, the only thing that I was saying this for, that you evaluated him for, is the Itafas. If the victim's family goes ahead and after it's evaluated today or tomorrow, how much is the value of the damage, and then they go ahead and grab from the Mazik's property, then the halacha is he's allowed to hold on to it. So you're right, we don't collect initially, but if the victim's family, if the victim goes and grabs it from the Mazik, then he's allowed to keep it. It's regarding that I said evaluate it so that if he grabs, he'll be able to keep it. Now the Gemara tells us Rav Letami. This that we just mentioned before, this halacha, is going Rava according to his reasoning. Dama Rava, because Rava said, Niske Shur Bishur, which means to say that the damages of an ox that happened through an ox, and Veniske Shur Ba'adam, the damages that happened to an ox through a person, meaning a person that damaged an ox, or an ox that damaged an ox, Gaivanaisa Bavavavavavavavav, those types of liabilities are collected in Bavel. Whereas Niske Adam Ba'adam, the damages of a person that were inflicted through a person, or Veniske Adam Bishar, or a person that was damaged through an ox, which again, then you have to evaluate him like a slave, in Gaivanos Bavel, that you do not collect in Bavel. So again, that's like we said before, that's Rav Lishitasa, which they had asked him, saying, wait a second, you said you don't evaluate, you don't collect such things, what's the point of evaluating? He says, you're right, we won't collect, but if he grabs, he could hold on to it. Now, this halacha of Rava seems somewhat contradictory. So the Gemara wants to know, how do we understand these two differences? He differentiated between when the victim is an ox and the victim is a person. Where the victim is an ox, you could collect. A victim is a person, you cannot. So that's what the Gemara wants to know. Why is it that when you said that if the victim is a person, whether through an Adam or that an ox injured him, where you said delay that you can't collect it in Bavel? Why? Obviously, because Elikim be'inan v'leka, because you need to have, quote, Elikim, which is the term used for judges in the Torah, and you don't have that, and that is because all these halachas are mentioned in Parashas Elah Mishpatim, where the mazik of Adam ba'adam, it says v'chi yirivun, when men will fight with each other. When it's an Adam b'shar, meaning when an ox injures a person, it says they're also v'chi yigach, when the ox will go a person. Now, in that parasha, it says, Ade Elikim yovi dvar shneim, that to God, to the courts, which is what the Elikim comes to say over there, will come the litigants to in front of the courts. Now, what the Gemara is assuming is that all the halachas over there in that pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim are going and on this pasuk, which means to say that you need to have those which have rabbinic ordination, have smicha, and they're mumch, and they're proficient in these laws, and above all, there is no halacha of smicha, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the first parak, and Afidal Manal. So there the Gemara wonders, So I understand why you're saying that if the victim is a person, you don't collect an imbavel because you need elikim. And in imbavel, we don't have those judges that are called elikim. But the question is, then how do we understand the other half of his halacha? Niski shayber 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 adam nami. So then, when you have an ox that's the victim, whether through an ox or whether a person damaged him, as we continue in Tamid Beis, it's also elikim be'inan v'leka. There you also need to have elikim, because those halachas of, let's say, a shar b'shar is also written over there, where it says of chayig of shar, when the ox will gore another ox, and also shar ba'adam, which is when the victim is an ox through a person, is also written over there, because it talks about the four types of watchmen who, when they do shlichas yad, when they do something to cause a liability for the victim that's an ox, that's also over there in those psukim and parashat ha'mashpatim. So that also needs elohim, and you don't have them because in Babel we don't. So elamayshno shor b'shor b'shor ba'adam. So then, what's the difference then? We were saying that if the victim is an ox, whether through an ox or through a person, that we say that we do adjudicate such court cases in Bavel, because the shlichu saikav dina must be, because although we don't have elikim over here, we don't have those that have smicha, but we the judges of Bavel do the agency. We are like shluchim of the dayanim of Eretz Yisrael. Just like we know, which is established in the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Gilman Aleph, that you don't need mumchen to have a court case of admission and of loans. Now the reason for that is why they consider that we're shluchim of the Dayan Maveritz Yisrael, so that the door shouldn't be closed in front of lenders, because no one's going to want to lend money anymore. What do you mean, I can't collect my money here in Bavel? Hadais means when someone comes with witnesses who can testify that this guy admitted in front of these two witnesses that he owes me money, and Havais is when they come to a court case regarding testimony of witnesses who saw the loan, where they say we saw it. So just like over there, we know the halacha is that we can have these court cases in Babel because we're the shluchim of the Dayan and Beretz as well. So the same thing obviously must apply when an ox gets, when the ox is the victim. So then Adam Adam, Adam is Sharon, Namash Lucha Saikabdin. So why don't you say the same thing also when a man damages a man, or if an ox damages a man, we should say the same thing. They were also the shluchim of the Yoni Eretz Yisrael. May they have our doors and voice, just like we say by regarding admissions and regarding loans, which we are their shluchim. So again, then what's the difference? Why, by the victim being a shur, we do collect in Bavel, but not when the victim is a person? So Amri, they said, Kikrav dina shlichosai, when do we do the agency of the Yoni Eretz Yisrael? That's b'midi de kimlon b'kabe. That's by something, when we are, when we know the established value of what we're adjudicating. But something that we don't know exactly the value, for example, like in this case where we have to first go through an evaluation process to see how much was the damage, that we don't do their agency. Whereas a loan, we know how much the loan was, the admission, we know what it is, so that will do, but here we have to evaluate, that we don't do. On that, the Gemara asked, Amri, they said, but wait a second. When the ox is the victim, that's the same thing. We also don't know exactly how much the damage was. Ella rather, so what do you say? Why do we have this court case in Bavel? Because go out and see how much is the ox sold in the marketplace. What's the big deal? As if we can't figure that out here in Bavel. So Adam 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 Mishar Namis, and then you can say the same thing regarding when the victim is a person. Go out and see how much is the value of a slave in the marketplace. How do we understand this differential that is being said over here between the victim being a person or an ox? Moreover, another question that adds fuel to this question is Tashlum Kefum V'Tashlum Abav V'Chamisha, regarding the payment of when a thief is found with the principal, and we know how much that's worth, where the halacha is generally has to pay double, or if, let's say, he slaughters the animal, he has to pay four or five times the amount, the kiti, which that's set amounts, that doesn't take any evaluations, Navid Shlichu Sayu, based on the answer that you gave, that the criterion of what we could judge here in Bavel is based on only if it's a set amount, but if it's not, then if we have to evaluate, we're not so well proficient in that area. But then why don't we do the court cases of Kefal and Dal Vehei, which we know that Allah is we're not done Dini Knas in Bavel. But why? If it's a set amount, we should. So Ami, they said, no, regarding that last question, Kikav Dini Shlichusaya, when do we do the agency of the judges of Eretz Yisrael is B'mamayin, is by monetary law, which is what you damage, what you owe, is what you pay. But by a penalty, which is really you wouldn't have to pay, but there's a penalty that you do have to pay, that we don't do the agency. Kefal is a penalty. You didn't damage him double or four or five times the amount. It's a biblical penalty that we don't judge. So that wouldn't go onto the criteria of a set amount. Yes, maybe it's based on a set amount, but kefal, even though it's set amounts, but since it's a knas, that we don't do in Bavel. Now, but still the Gemara asks, but Adam, but Adam the Mamainuhu, but when the victim is a person, even if the assailant is a person, where that is monetary law because you, that's how much you made him lose for, from his value, that's how much you would have to compensate him. That's what's called monetary law. It's not just a penalty. So Navit Shlichusai, so that again, we're back to the question, the first question, that you should do that agency here in Bavel, because as we said, what's the difference between the halacha of what, set amount? What do you mean? An ox is also not a set amount. But it's, you know, because you go into the marketplace, so you can know that regarding the victim being a person too. So the Gemara answers, Kikav Dina Shlichusai, when do we do the agency of the judges of Eretz Yisrael? Is b'milso de shchicha. Is by something that's common. However, an ox getting damaged, the people's properties, that's common. But a person being a victim, that's not so common, and therefore that we don't do the shlichas. On that, the Gemara asks, but hari boishes upagam, now those who take out the gears of pagam, but regarding a person being humiliated and being depreciated, the shchich, which is common, navishlichusayu, that we should do through agency. Now Rashi explains that pagam applies, let's say, in a situation of rape or a woman that was seduced, which that's in place of damages, which we evaluate how much would a person want to give between the maidservant that's a virgin and the maidservant that's a ba'ula, that already that lost her virginity. And the difference of that would be where he would want to marry off that shivcha to his slave, who would want to get that pleasure of marrying a basula. So obviously we see that, A, first of all, it is monetary law, where because that's a value that he made her lose, so it's monetary law. And again, it's something that is common. So to baishis, humiliation is not knas, it's money, because it doesn't have a set amount. Knas is always a set amount. Rather, by humiliation, it's according to who embarrassed and who was the embarrassee, who was getting embarrassed. So the question is, those things that are common, and it's mammon, so then we should be doing the shlichus of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, if the whole reason why we don't do Nizki Adam is because it's leishchicha, but humiliation is common. Sami, they said, Hachinami, you're right. The Rav Papa, Agvi, Arba, Meyazuzi, Labaishas. You're right, we do judge Baishas in Bavel, as we find that that's what Rav Papa did, as the halacha is brought later on, the Tzadi Manalaf in the Mishnah, that if someone does something to a person's ear, then there's certain halachas where it's humiliating, that we do collect 400 zuz, and Rav Papa collected 400 zuz in Bavel. So we do that, because it is common. On that thing I'm going to ask, but V'holesel of Rav Papa. It's not true. We don't hold to that halacha of Rav Papa, which therefore then would make the question come back. But why don't we? Because the shalach Rav Chizr of Nachman, Rav Chizr had sent Rav Nachman, which was brought early in the Chazayin and Mabez and Perek HaManiach, that he asked him a question regarding something like this. V'shalach Lein, Rav Nachman sent back to Rav Chizr, Chizda, Knasa Kamagvis B'Bavel, what, you want to collect penalties in Bavel? We don't do these things in Bavel. What are you asking that? What's the halacha if we don't collect these types of things? So the question is, but why don't we? If this is a common thing of baishas, so then why don't we collect it? Now, so Ella rather explains the Gemara, Ki avdin shlichusayu, when do we do the shlichas of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael? Is two criterion, and this is going to answer the questions. The milsa de shchicha, the ispe chesaron kis. First of all, it has to be a common thing, and it has to be something that's a loss of money. So for example, haidois and alvois, which is a classic thing we do here in Babel, when someone brings witnesses, this guy admitted he owes me the money, or when he just brings witnesses regarding the loan, A, there's a loss of money because he lent the money, and B, it's common for people to have loans. That, we judge such cases here in Babel. But let's say something that's common, let's say by baishas, but there's no loss of money. Or inami, or also milsad leishchicha vesper chesaron kis, which is a regular damages of a victim of a person, where there's obviously a loss of money, but it's not something that's common. Loy of din shlichusai, then we don't do their agency. So hilkach, the Gemara concludes, adam ba adam, when the person was victimized by another person, saavagav vesper chesaron kis, even though there's a loss of money, there's a victim that got injured, but kivin leishchicha, since it's not common, so loy of din shlichusai, we don't do their agency. And so to the other way around, by humiliation, even though it's common, even the less b'chasarin kiss, since there's no actual loss of money, so therefore we don't do their agency, and that answers the questions that we asked. What's the understanding of that discrepancy between the shur being the victim and the person that we explained, because there it shares those two qualities. Now, that the Gemara asks, v'shur b'shur goven b'bavel, do we really collect when the ox gores an ox in bavel? Which we said that A, it's common, and there's a loss of money. But Vama Rabba says, Shar Shehizik, an ox that damages, ain't given us a bubble. We don't collect those damages in bubble. Now the Gemara explains the Azigman. When we say that if the ox damages, we don't collect in bubble, who did the ox damage? Elim the Azik Adam, if you would entertain to say that means when the ox damages or gores a person, that we don't collect in a bubble, Ma'ir Yashur the Azik Adam. Then why do I have to pick if the Mazik is an ox, meaning when the ox damages, gores a person, where that's not common at all, as we just explained. Afila Adam, the Azik Adam, even when a person who injures a person, which is at least more common, because an ox, he can protect himself, a person is much harder to protect himself from. And still Rava said, Nami ain't giving this bubble. We already said that you never collect when the person is a victim in bubble, because as we said, that it's a misal shchicha. So why pick, say that a mazik damages, when the sherb is damaging in bubble, to say that it means damaging a person, you don't collect that. Why say a sherb that's a mazik, which is totally uncommon? Even a person that damages a person, which is more common, but it's still not common enough, that even that you don't collect. So why say the sherb is being the mazik? Elabshida, rather, it's obvious he was talking about the azik shur. That it, what was he saying? When the shur is a mazik and the damage is an ox, but katani in gavenes of a bubble, and we see that it's teaching us that you don't collect in a bubble. So we're back to the question: how can you say that a shur the azik shur you collect in bubble when we see clearly that when the shur is a mazik, which must mean a mazik a shur, because mazik adam, why say a shur be even the adam the azik adam, which is at least more common, and we see that a shur the azik shur you don't collect in bubble. So I mean, they said it depends. Hasam b'tam. There the Brisa was talking about by a person. I mean by a tam. A tam, when the shur is the first two times it gores, then you don't collect. Now the reason for that is, as we taught on Daf Tezvav and Beis in the first parak, because when the shur is a tam and it pays chatzin nezik, it's palganizka knasa, it's a penalty. And we know in given knasa is bebavel. Hacha b'muud. Here Rava was talking about that a shur de azik shur that you collect in bubble was talking about when it's already shur hamud. Shur hamud pays nezik shalom, that's din imamanis, and it's something that's common, and it's something that's chasar and kiss, that you're going to collect in bubble. Now, still the Gemara asked, but v'ama Rava, Rava said, ain't mood be bubble. There is no shur hamud in bubble. In other words, since the way it only becomes a shur hamud is because it was a shur tam for the first few times. Now, since we don't bring a shur tam to the courts in bavel, how could it ever become a shur hamud? It can't, because it has to first be prosecuted as a shur tam once and twice, and it can't be because ain't given knas in bavel. So you can't have a mood in bavel. So how can you say that's the case of collecting shur dazik shur in bavel? So I mean, they said no. It's toma dayayit hasam. It became a shur hamud in Eretz Yisrael vaisu lahacha. And then they brought it here from Eretz Yisrael. That's how you have a shur hamud. That would be collected in bavel. Now that the Gemara asks, but v'misal l'shchichihi. That's not common for a shur hamud to be brought from Eretz Yisrael to bavel. Now we just said before, a misal l'shchichihi is something that's not common. Ha'amr to le'avdin l'shluchasai, that we don't do their agency. So since it's a misal l'shchichihi, how can you say that shur dazik shur you would collect? If the only way to get a shur dazik shur is through an uncommon situation of a shur hamud coming from Eretz Yisrael to bavel. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's talking about the Rabban and the Hasam Yadu Hacha. You're right, it's not common to have a Shur Hamud come from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. It means that the rabbis from Israel, from Eretz Yisrael, had come and made this Shur into Shur Hamud. They prosecuted the ox over here, which they're judges from Eretz Yisrael, they're allowed to do that, even in Bavel, and made it into Shur Hamud here. Not the Gemara asks, it's still not common. Why would it be common that judges from Eretz Yisrael would come here and prosecute an ox a few times to make it into Shur Hamud? So it's not common. You already said that in an uncommon situation that we don't do their shlichus. So the Gemara says, you're right. Rather, when did Rava say that shur b'shur you're going to collect in bavel? It's not talking about keren, b'shein v'regel. It's talking about by the mazik of when an ox damages another ox, although classically that's through the horns that's goring. It's actually went through the mazik of shein and regel. Now, although generally shein and regel don't apply to animals, they apply either to food, which is shein, or regel is when it's trampling someone else's crops. But you could have it with another animal. For example, let's say when it rubs itself on the other animal for its own benefit, for its own pleasure, thus damaging the other animal, that would be a talad, the derivative of shein, which is hanol lezeker. Or let's say it damages its other ox with its body as it's walking. It just comes walking through a large animal and pushes away the other one unintentionally, which that's a talad of regal, which is hezekah matzah, which is common as it's walking. The mu'adin mitchilasan, and those types of mazikin are automatically mu'adin. It doesn't have to become through a tam to a mu'ad. So therefore, since it's a mu'ad, then it's considered mumin. That's something that, again, is shchicha, it's common for an animal to do shein regel, and it's a loss of money, those are things that you're going to collect in Bavel. Again, a conscious distinction too, when the victim is a person, where again, either it's not going to be common, or even if it's common, like in Beishes, it's not going to be a chasar and kiss, and therefore that's not collected in Bavel. And again, that was what the Gemara had introduced over here, regarding that incident where although there was the ox, the truth of the hand of the child. And they said, go evaluate. And they asked him, what do you mean? Your opinion is, kol anishim ke'eved, whatever has to be evaluated like a slave. In other words, a person's victim, when the victim is a person, regarding those injuries, we don't collect in a bavel. Again, as we explained, either because there's no chesar and kiss, or because those are the two criterion, or because it's a mitzvah l'shchicha, it's not common. And that's what the Gemara went through the whole explanation to explain where that's from. But again, he said, the reason why I'm saying to evaluate the child is only because if the victim grabs that, then he could hold on to it. But you're right, to collect, that we don't collect in Bavel. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah. So we had explained the first of the five items when a person damages another person, what he has to pay him is nezik, is the amount of damages. Now the Gemara moves on to the second item of the Mishnah, which is tsar. The Mishnah says you have to pay him for the amount of pain that he went through. So the Mishnah explained, kavai b'shvud, let's say if he burnt him with a spit, or with masmar, or with nails, b'chul, etc., which the Mishnah said, which is what the Gemara is going to ask on, this halacha that the Mishnah said, tsar shaloi b'makam nezik mishtalim, that when the Mishnah said that even if he burnt him on his fingernail, where he didn't diminish his value at all, there's no actual physical damage that he would be worth any less if he'd be sold as a slave, but still you have to pay him just for the pain that he suffered, even though there's no damages being done to the person, ask the Gemara, mantana, Who's the Tana of a Mishnah that holds that this halacha? So Amar Rava, Rava says Benazahi, it's like Benazahi. The Tana, like, because we learn the Brayas, it's actually a machlekes. Rebbe says, Kaviya nemretchila. A burn is said first in the pasuk. Now Benazahi, he says, Chabur nemretchila. No, actually a bruise is said first in the pasuk. So the Gemara asks, but my kamifiki, what are they disagreeing about? Now, because if someone reads the pasuk, this is in Perek Chaf Aleph Pasuk Chafei, it says clearly, kviya tachas kviya, a burn in place of a burn, patsa tachas patsa, a wound in place of a wound, chabur tachas chabur, this another type of a wound that in place of a wound. So the question is, the pasuk says kviya says first. So what are they disagreeing? Rebbe saying kviya said first, but another saying no, chabur said first. What do I mean? Clearly, kviya is said first. So what are they disagreeing about? So that explains Rava. Rebbe Savar Kaviyah, Rebbe holds, when it says in the Pasuk that when you have to compensate, as we said, it doesn't mean literally an eye for an eye or a burn for a burn, it means you got to compensate him for the burn. Rebbe holds when it says you got to compensate him for a burn, Deles b'chamur mashma. It means to say, it would connote, even if there was no wound. In other words, when Rebbe said, Kaviyah l'chud, that when it says Kaviyah nemer t'chila, that it says a wound first, meaning a burn, on its own. In other words, when the Pasuk first talks about a kviya, a burn, we would have inferred that you would be liable even if all there was a burn, even without inflicting any wound, where the only thing that there is pain. Now, therefore, kasa rachmana chabura, but that's why the Torah then wrote later on the concept of a wound, legaluye alod de kviya, to reveal and clarify that this that the Pasuk started off with a burn, is to say that no, it's only the isbachabur in. The burn that you'll be liable for, which is a concept of pain, you'll only be liable if there is a chabur there, if there's a wound, meaning that there is damages. Eloi, eloi. But if there wasn't any chabur, then neither are you going to be liable anything for the burn. In other words, you're not liable until there's a chabur with the kviya. And the reason being is because since you have to heal him because of the wound, so then you have to also pay for the pain. But if there is no chabura, for example, let's say you burnt him on the fingernail, then Rebbe holds you're going to be exempt because you do not pay for pain when there is no damages. Now, the reason for this is because if that wasn't what the pasuk is coming to tell us, when it adds on chabur tachas chabur to say that you'll only have the payment of the pain of the kviya of the burn when you have chabura, then the Torah had no necessity of saying the concept of paying for the chabur, because if when you have a burn without a wound, the pasuk already told you that you're going to be liable, so for sure, when you actually inflict on the person a wound where there's actual damage, of course you're going to have to pay. So therefore it says, Rebbe, from the fact that the pasuk says chabur, it's only coming to clarify that the kviya, the burn, the tsar of the burn, is only if there's b'makam nezik. But shalei b'makam nezik, you actually do not pay for the burn, for the pain of the burn. Now, Benazi Savar, Kaviyah, but Benazi holds that when it says Kaviyah in the Torah, the Isbacha Bura Mashma, that would infer that that's talking about a case when there is a wound. Now, when therefore, so the words of Benazi, when he said that Chabura Nemer Tchila, what did he mean when he says that it says first in the Pasuk a wound? What do you mean? It doesn't. It says Kaviyah first. What he means to say is that from the first words in the Pasuk where it talks about a Kaviyah, burn, we would have inferred that you're only going to be liable for the burn if there is a wound with it. Because generally, when you burn somebody, there's a wound there too. Now, therefore, Kasar Rachman Chabura, now that's why the Torah explicitly wrote the word chabura, why? Legluya Allah. To go ahead and reveal by default that when it says de kviya, when the pasuk first had said burn, is to tell you the less b'chabura, that it was talking about even if there was no wound there. To tell you that you're going to be liable on the pain even if there's no damages, which is what Rav is saying is like the halach of our Mishnah, which is obviously going like Benazir, not like Rabbi. Because when he says chabura, nemer tchila, if without the word chabura, I would have understood that kviya means with a chabura. So then why are you saying chabura at the end? Ah, I must be coming to say that no, even if the chabura is its one thing and kviya is a separate thing, meaning even if the burn, the pain without the wound, that you will be chayiv, that's like the halacha of our Mishnah, which again is only because the pasuk says chabura. But if not, then I would have said chabura ner matchila, why would I need chabura to be said? Obviously to reflect that it's even if there's no wound, that you're going to be liable on the pain. Now, in this interpretation of Rava, Maskev l'Rapapa, Rapapa asks, he says, Ander Rava, to the contrary, Ipro Mestavar, actually the logic is the other way around. That actually the Tanna Vamishna is like Rebbe, not like Benazai. First of all, because it's not logical to say, meaning it's more logical to say that the Tanna Vamishna is like Rebbe, who he actually would organize all the Mishnais. Now, moreover, he's saying that it's more logical to say that both Rebbe and Benazai say Nemra, meaning the words they used here in the Braisa were, oh, Kaviyah Nemra Tchila. Benazai says, no, Chabur Nemra Tchila. Says Rav Papa, it's more logical to say that it was on the conclusion of the Pasuk, where how they're coming out from the Pasuk, and not like how Rav had said it, that their wordings were going on what I would have originally said the Pasuk is going on, which the end of the Pasuk actually comes to exclude from that. No, to the contrary. Rebbe, when he's coming to say his words, which again his words are Kaviyah Nemer Tchila, is the end of the Pasuk proves to us that Kaviyah Nemer Tchila, meaning that Kaviyah is without a Chabura, that's what the Pasuk is going to be Mechayiv you in the beginning, but only once you know the end of the Pasuk, which is coming to tell you that you pay for the pain even when there's no damages. Now what's the reason? So the Gemara explains. The way Rapapa says it is, Rebbe Eimer, his words were Kaviyah Nemer Tchila, that the pasuk, when it starts off in the beginning, kviya teches kviya, it says kviya, meaning, what is he coming to say? Sava, Rebbe holds, kviya de isba chabur mashma, the exact opposite of how Rava had said it. Meaning, Rebbe's initial is that, without any other words, I would have thought that kviya means with a chabur. Kazra chman chabur, therefore the Torah wrote explicitly the word chabura, legluya lo de kviya, to reveal that when it said already in the beginning kviya, is the less b'chabur that there is no wound. Again, like the Tana of our Mishnah, that even then you'll be chayav netzar. Now, whereas Ben Azai said that no, the end of the pasuk reveals to us that chabura nemer tchila. What does that mean? Meaning, from the end of the pasuk we learn out that the kviya that the pasuk is initially being mechav you for is only if it's with a chabur. Now, what's the reason? Because he holds chabur and emer tchila. What does that mean? Meaning, savar he holds kviya de lesbo chamur mashma. Actually, if I only had the words kviya tachas kviya, I would have thought that's even without a wound. Now, kasav rachman chabur. Now, therefore, now when the Torah does say chabura, so the gluya lo de kviya de isba chabura in. So that's coming to reveal to us that, oh, the kviya that has a wound, that then you're going to be chai for that pain. But eloi, but if not, you're not going to be chai for that pain. And hence, the way Rav Papa is explaining is va'amaskona kaimi. In other words, this nemra that they're both saying is going on the end of the drasha, and meaning the conclusion of the pasuk, that's what they come out with, meaning to say that actually the Tana of the Mishnah is Rebbe, not Benazai, because Rav was explaining it according to their initial understanding, but then the end of the pasuk excludes from that, which makes Benazai the Tana of the Mishnah, not Rebbe. Papa saying there was the exact opposite, Rebbe the Tana of the Mishnah, and not Benazai. Or Inami, another approach says Rav Papa that you could come out and say the Tana of the Mishnah is Rebbe and not like Benazai, is the Kuli Alma Kviya. Everybody holds actually that the term kviya itself is bein de isbachabur, bein de lesbachabur mashma, that it would sound like whatever the burn is, you got to pay for the pain of burn, whether there is a wound or whether there's not a wound. Now, v'hach, but over here, so then what are they disagreeing about? As we continue to talk about pehe man aleph, b'chlal uprat hamaruchakim zemezekim eflagi. They're disagreeing regarding when you have a general statement, and then a prat, which is a specific statement, which generally you say, im b'chlal al-mashab prat, that you say that it's only what it says in the specific will the halach apply to, but when they're distant one from the other, and they're being separated by something else, if you still make the drush of chlal prat or not. And that is, Rabbi Savar ain't done a nice of b'chlal prat. Since they're distant one from the other, you will not qualify it for the halacha of judging it as a general statement as a specific. So therefore here also, where it first opened up with kviya. That's the first thing that it said. Now, as we said, kviya is a klal. Why? Because the term burn can sound like whether there is a chabur or whether there's no chabur. Now, had it said after the word kviya, the term chabur tachas chabura, then we would have expounded that chabur is a prat. It's specifying. Although kviya is general, but we would say, ein b'chlal mashab prat, which is that only if the burn would have a chabur with it, then you'd be chayav for the burn, meaning for the pain. But if there's no chabur, then not. But now that it says the term petza tachas patza in between these two terms, so then we don't qualify it as a chlal prat. Now, shortly the Gemara is going to ask, then what does Rebbe do with chabur tachas chabur if it's not qualifying kviya tachas kviya? And we know that kviya, the burn is going to be even when there's no injury with it, it's just for the pain itself, like the Tanna by Mishnah. So what does Chabur come to teach? As the Gemara is going to shortly address. But this is what Rebbe meant when he said, Kviya Nemer Tchila. In other words, from the beginning of the Pasuk, we learn out that the liability of the burn is in general. And meaning that we don't say that the end of the Pasuk will prove that when it says in the beginning, Kviya Tachas Kviya is only going to be when there's a wound. We don't, because since they're distant, the Prat from the Klal, we don't make a Klal Uprat. And therefore, we could say that the Tanna of Mishnah is like Rabbi, where again, he holds that since Kviya is a general statement, includes whether there's a Chabur, even if there's no Chabur. And although Chabur would qualify, it's not going to, because they're separated by Petzah Tachas Patza. Whereas Ibn Nazai, Savad Dan, and Isa B'chal Prat, he held that, no, that when he says these words, Chabur Nemer Tchila, he says, yes, when it says in the beginning, Kviya Tachas Kviya, it means to say it has to be only with a Chabur. Why? Because the Prat of Chabur qualifies, it says that it's only with a wound, because although Pesatachas Potsa separates it, he says it still doesn't make a difference. It will still say Ebachlal El Masha Beprat. Now the Gemara just concludes and says, if that's the case, so Vechitema Chabur LeRebbe Lamali. So if that's the case, then why? What does the Pasuk teach us when it says a wound in place of a wound? We already know from the beginning of the Pasuk. We said that you're liable on even a burn, which is whether there's a Chabur or not a Chabur. So you see that you're always going to be liable even on pain. So for sure you're going to be liable for a chabur. What does that part of the pasuk teach us if it's not like Benazi who's saying that it's qualifying the klal? The Gemara concludes, l'damim yiserim. The halachic relevancy of that would be regarding extra money. In other words, that if it only had written kviya tachas kviya, then we would have said that when the person burns someone else, whether if there's a wound or whether there's no wound, that the only thing you're going to be compensating him is for the burn itself. But you wouldn't pay him for both the wound and the burn. That's the Kamash Malan. That's why I have to say that it has to end off with Chabur Tachas Chabura to say that when the person burns someone else and also gives him inflicts a wound on him, that A, you're going to be paying for the kviya, for the burn, which again we said that could be just for the pain itself, and additionally, you're going to be paying him for the Chabur. So yes, of course, you know that kviya is even without Chabur. It's not adding and qualifying anything on the kviya, but it's coming to say that even when in the kviya there's a Chabur too, that you don't pay just for the burn, but you pay for the Chabur too. That's according to Rabbi, what that's coming to teach us.